B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. B75, The Fanatic.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. I'm man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kind of hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. It is the end of a week, a very interesting week in Philadelphia sports. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. We broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. We're going to be all around the map today with no football to talk about as we go into this weekend. We sit and watch other teams play in the playoffs, and it's kind of aggravating. And all we're left to do is wrestle with the unusual, awkward situation of yesterday's press conference where they fired an offensive coordinator and a wide receivers coach, which at the end of the day, we really don't care that much about. I mean, let's face it. We talked about the methodology of the press conference yesterday and not the merit of the press conference, because really nobody cares. At least it's not, as far as I can tell, that Mike Groh is no longer going to be the offensive coordinator.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody cares. It's right, Sonny. So we proceed with the next step, which is who they will bring in. And that will be an interesting story on who they bring in, because the main thing that we talked about is you got to bring in somebody who's going to be subordinate to the head coach calling plays. If so, who are you going to get? Or will the owner, who wielded his power yesterday, say, I'm wielding my power again, and I'm hiring an offensive coordinator who's going to call plays, and you just coach the team. You be the head coach of the team. So we'll see. That's the next thing that we will discuss with the Philadelphia Eagles. There was a story in today's paper, today's Inquirer, which suggested that this was so egregious to Doug Peterson that he got his legs cut out by the owner in that press conference. And we still don't know what the mechanism of that press conference was and what he knew or did not know. But let's just assume that the owner undercut Doug Peterson, cut his legs off. The notion then is, at least in this story, was how long will Doug Peterson put up with the meddling of the owner, Jeffrey Lurie? And I started to think, I go, is Doug Peterson all that I have to worry about whether the owner is going to undercut him? Like, is he in a position of loftiness where we have to go, oh, but you can't do that to Doug. You may lose him. I don't know if I feel that way about Doug. Maybe I should feel stronger about that particular premise, but I'm wondering how many people feel that way. Doug Peterson is the be-all, end-all. He is the captain in his ship, and you shouldn't mess with him. I don't know, if I'm an owner, this goes on now all the time with owners. Now, Lurie had never showed this kind of profile on what he did. And I still don't know why he did it. And the theories that we can discuss until the cows come home. And we're still not going to find out what was the real inside story of it. Was it awkward? Yes. Did Peterson defy the owner? Maybe. Well, was he not told? Possibly. Is the coach out of the loop that much where he wasn't told that Jeffrey Lurie wanted to get rid of these two guys? And I don't know. I don't really know what it is, but let's just focus on the Peterson part. Should we be that concerned about the owner meddling with Doug Peterson? I don't know. Tyrone, what do you think?
Well, yes and no.
Is he that strong of a head coach where you go, hey, the owner should not touch him?
I think he's a good head coach.
Mm-hmm.
A good head coach.
Okay.
I do.
Not a great head coach.
He need more time for great.
Mm-hmm.
Been
okay.
To the playoffs three times, though, that he's one of the few. Not many have been in the playoffs three straight years. That is a rare thing.
All right.
But at the same time, he's not above being questioned. And I think it's fair for the owner to question him with these particular guys. I don't think that that was some out of line. Now, the way he did it, I don't care for.
Mm-hmm.
If Doug didn't know, I don't care for the way that he did it. If Doug did know, well, then that's on Doug. He's the one who tried to.
We're never going to know that.
Right.
I mean, here's the way I look at it. Unless you're a great coach, the owner can do anything he wants. You know, he's the owner of the team. He's paying the bills. He doesn't like something that's going on. He can do everything he wants.
And the other part is, while the coach, I think he's a good leader, the offense has not been elite the last 2 years. And that's with multiple with different quarterback and all this. It hasn't been elite. So either the coaches aren't coaching the players well enough or the players aren't good enough. Either way, as the owner, I'm angry.
All right. So we'll discuss that part of it. But yesterday, last night, of course, the big topic, and we'll have Brett Brown on at 2:30 today. What a great NBA game that was. That was an entertaining game. And you look at it and you go, okay, here's the thing. They have to play a different way. They did play a different way last night. They up-tempoed it. They scrambled more on defense without the big post player. Ben Simmons did some things without Embiid on the floor that you then appreciate what Ben can do, right? You saw that clearly last night. He was flying all over the floor. They got a clutch when we need a basket guy last night in Josh Richardson. I don't know if that continues. And Horford came alive without Embiid on the floor. Now, this is interesting for a couple of reasons, and we'll get into these with Brett Brown. They're going to have to play this way for an extended period of time. To be playoff ready, though, they're going to have to figure it out with Embiid. Now, the prognosis on Embiid, they're going to reevaluate between 1 and 2 weeks. He's having surgery. Folks, let me just tell you, he's out at least a month and probably longer than that, because you're talking about recovering from the surgery, healing from the surgery, and then you're going to have to rehab the fingers and get him in a pliable position again, which could take another week. This could be a 6-week thing. The whole thing, the dynamic of the Sixers, was to blend hard enough with Embiid and Horford on the floor. They hadn't done it so far, and you needed more time to be playoff ready to have that on. Now they've got to play differently. And so when Embiid comes back, what happens? They have to rechange their style again. They have to hope now, with very little time remaining as he goes into the playoffs, whether Horford can play with Embiid, whether Simmons can be the Simmons we saw last night with Embiid on the floor. It's a very interesting situation here. So for the time being, I call last night's game a temp. It's a temp. They look great. First day out of the shoot, they had energy. At halftime, they turned it around to pick up the energy, turned the game around in the third quarter. Can they do that for an extended period of time, play that way? And if they do, what happens when the playoff-ready team is back? I mean, you saw that last night. What were your views?
Yeah, I liked what I saw, but The Ben Simmons game was really good, but there was a couple things that concerned me. You see, he was able to give the ball to Jay Rich and let him cook a lot because he was able to be in that dunker spot again. Mm-hmm. He's comfortable there in that dunker spot.
Yes.
I can't have him in that dunker spot in the playoffs because I have Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
I need him to, if he's going to have Richardson go, he has to go to the corner. And I know he doesn't want to go to the corner. He doesn't want to shoot three-pointers, but he needs to get to the corner and be willing to shoot corner threes. That's what I need to see over these next 6 weeks. If I see that, then I know the path to make it work with Embiid. But if he's still in that dunker spot, I think that's going to be a problem. You know what I mean?
You're not going to see it. All right? So let's put it out there right now. I am done with the wishing. The conclusion is you're not going to see it. You're not going to see that. So then the question comes, can they win? And because of that, missing all this time, forget about don't forget about the cardiovascular part of this thing. He goes sit out for 6 weeks, has to rehab the hand. The cardiovascular is not going to be the same. Can they possibly think they can get it together and be playoff ready with him on the floor?
Yeah, in 6 weeks, you got enough time. If it's 6 weeks, because that puts you in the middle of February, you would have the rest of February, all of March, and a part of April. and their schedule gets really easy towards the end. In fact, they had the fifth easiest schedule in the NBA the rest of the way.
Yeah.
That's enough time to gel if it's 6 weeks. If it's longer than 6 weeks, they're in trouble, I think, your scenario.
Now, Reggie Miller said something last night. I didn't watch the national broadcast last night. Yeah. I watched the NBC Sports Philly. But apparently Reggie Miller said it took him, like, what did he say, 6 months?
To feel fully back.
And that's a guy that runs like a maniac. And he was alluding to cardiovascular-wise as well, that it took him that long to feel comfortable enough on a playing floor. That causes me great worry for Joel Embiid.
It does, but that's on Joel. Joel has to, he will not be able to obviously shoot a basketball. He won't be able to do most of that stuff because he won't be able to grip a basketball. He knows one-hand shots or whatever. He can do that, but he's got to find a way for the first time in his life to take it upon himself to be at practices, because those are his games. They're not going to do contact, and go full out and be in passable shape when he returns. Now, there is no way to replicate game shape. He has to find a way on his own these next 6 weeks to keep his cardio up, and he has to be held very accountable by the fan base and everyone else if he's not passably in shape when he gets back in 6 weeks. If he comes back all lumbering around like that, I'm done with that. He has to find a way. And I know that you're probably right, and he will be way out of shape, but there's no excuse for it. Your hand will not preclude you from running. Your plan will not preclude you from doing the water workouts and the stuff to have your cardio at a base level to get in 6 weeks after that, get back in game shape. There's no excuse.
All right. A lot of heroes last night. Everybody shared. Richardson came out big. Horford came out big. Ben played a tremendous floor game. I thought they got a contribution from Norvell Pell last night. That's unexpected. And, you know, it started to remind me of, you remember the early days of Rashawn Holmes?
Yeah.
When he would give you that kind of thing? Now, that went bad early.
He's better than Holmes, though.
Yeah, he is. But, like, he's a short burst type of guy. But he is showing some kind of profile where they might be able to get some defensive minutes, meaningful defensive minutes, when the games get more meaningful.
Yeah.
And we'll say about that.
And right now, he's your third big, which means... And his contract's getting close to the time where they can't. He's a two-way.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have to sign him, which means you got to say goodbye probably to either Kyle O'Quinn or Jonah Bolden or Howell, because they have to make room for him. Because if he's your third big man, he's on your roster.
Kyle O'Quinn suddenly turned into Amir Johnson.
All of a sudden, yeah.
Yeah, he's become Amir Johnson. Guys just have the tank just empty sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So we got on a little early, and maybe that threw some people off. People go, what happened to the theme at 2 o'clock? We had to check in a little early. We had a little commercial snafu.
Yeah.
So we got on at like 1:58.
So if you
missed the Mike Mussinelli Show theme song, we apologize for that. But we are fully on the air right now. Wide open lines to climb in. And this is like a discuss whatever day, because a lot of things have happened this week. If you haven't had a chance to comment on it, including the Eagles situation and the Sixers situation, and you got the Flyers with a big win last night. We haven't heard much from Flyer fans and where they're going with this. But Brett Brown will be on the show at 2:30, 2:45? All right, 2:45, Brett Brown, 2:45, and they are headed on a road trip to play Luka. We'll be back for the Dallas Mavericks tomorrow night. All right, so it is the Mike Mussinelli Show. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. Let's get it cooking. Mike Mussinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show. The Fanatic.
I said 2:19. Don't forget Brett Brown, 2:45. The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC and Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's Canada location. It's on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today. Equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Let's start our Twitter poll, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Check out that Husqvarna auto mower from Paul B. Moyer & Sons, because spring is just around the corner. In fact, it's arriving tomorrow, 66 degrees. Check out the auto mower in person at their showroom in Doylestown or online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie Eganoff.
Thanks, Mike. Over 200 votes on this one early. Was Jeffrey Lurie out of line if he overruled Doug Peterson on his assistance? 24% say yes, 76% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. By the way, I'm thinking of starting a new new thing on the show. Daily, and it's called Some People Are Idiots.
Oh, I like that. I like the sound of that.
Like that feature?
No, I like that.
And it's based primarily on Twitter.
Yes.
So let's introduce this, the first one that I have on the list, which is yesterday, the news came out that Josh McCown played with a torn hamstring in that game. And that adds to his heroism in playing in the game. I get that. But it is also a blatant reason why a team cannot have a 40-year-old backup quarterback to play in a meaningful game. Because 40-year-old quarterbacks aren't as spry. And so something like that can happen to an old man before it's going to happen to a young man.
Correct.
Now, when we were talking about this, we said, well, Josh McCown couldn't make those kind of plays because the athleticism wasn't there for him. So now idiots send me videos of him dunking a basketball in some charity basketball game, which happened in 2014. Now, that's 5 years ago. Maybe 5 years ago, he was an athlete. At age 40, you're probably no longer the athlete that you were that dunked that basketball.
Absolutely. And Dwayne Wade just retired. He can dunk a basketball, but that doesn't mean he can play in the NBA.
He looked athletic, but it's 5 years down the road. That's so forget about it. It doesn't translate. And for that you to send me that video makes you an idiot.
Yes, Dr. J can still dunk. Do you want them to suit Doc up tomorrow?
I don't know that he can still dunk. Like I bet you Josh McCown can't even dunk now. I'll bet
40,
you that.
No, probably not. He's not a very, very tall guy.
You just lose it. Yeah, so that's how a torn hamstring happens. You try to press beyond what your athletic limits are. So, in retrospect, I'll get to another, some people are idiots in a second. in retrospect, the Eagles did themselves a disservice by having a 40-year-old backup. Because think about if Wentz had gotten hurt in the middle of the season. Then you were requiring that guy to play several games in a row, and it would have worked. So, in retrospect, now, I know this is the obvious question, and I know this is not going to sit well with people. In retrospect, if you knew what could happen to Josh McCown, fast forward in time and then going back in time, would you have preferred Colin Kaepernick as your backup? Now, think about Kaepernick coming in this playoff game. Would you have been better off with a playmaker who's still athletic more than a 40-year-old quarterback? It's just a simple question. You may say no to that. But in retrospect, if you could change time, would you have done that?
You asking me?
I'm asking you.
Well, of course I would have.
Okay.
Because the guy's not 40. The guy also, because of the 2 years off, is fresher. So, like, to me, it was a no-brainer. Now, I know people are going to be offended, and I'm not even talking about that. I'm saying, who do I think would be more likely to win a playoff game or be a backup for 4 weeks, let's say? Colin Kaepernick or any 4-year-old on earth. I'm picking Kaepernick. I just am. I mean, other than Brady and Brees.
Okay, now here's the answer people will have. People will have the answer. Well, Mike, then you would have had a guy that's breathing over your starting quarterback's neck, and then you would have had a quarterback controversy, and Wentz wasn't playing well. People would have screamed for Colin Kaepernick to play, and that would have allowed Wentz to develop like the way he did at the end of the year. Valid point. But come on, man. The guy had a torn hamstring he played with, trying to win a game in playoffs.
Through two quarters. He tore it in the second.
Yeah,
so he had to play the rest of the second, all the third and the fourth. And on that fourth down scramble, he's trying to get a fourth down with a torn hamstring.
It was torn off the bone.
Yeah.
Another off the bone injury.
You had a grandpop, all due respect, Josh McCown, grandpop's in the game, who, by the way, left the team every Friday to coach the football team down south. We forgot about that part.
Yeah, on a jet.
I'm sure that did his legs good.
Right, going back, up and down. Yeah, every week on that extra flight. Because then he also would still have to fly out if it's a road game to wherever they were going.
Yes.
Doubling his flights.
Yeah.
Got to do a better job, Eagles.
Yes. Just
come on.
Yeah, you have to. I think they learned a lesson.
You know how we...
Is it that hard, though? Is that like a lesson that needs to be learned? I feel like it's kind of just simple.
Well, he went old everywhere else, though. Look, he went old a lot of spots.
Here's where it goes back to, though. They made a misjudgment on Nate Sudfeld. If Nate Sudfeld was a capable number two, they would have had to reach out for a 40-year-old dude. So they'll go best, but they're a mistake with Sudfeld.
And then they'll
carry that dude who's, you know, Mr. Let's sit next to Carson Wentz and get warm for how many years?
But that tells me, though, because of how they acted with other positions, for all I know, Sudfeld might have been better. Not then McCown, but they didn't trust any young players. Look how they did. Every single spot, they went with an old guy. They saw Boston Scott shimmy shaking all around and went with Sproles. Boston Scott was better. They might have saw those two guys and said, you know what?
Maybe.
Old.
Maybe.
I don't know. Something that might have been passable.
Quarterbacks get the most reps of anybody. You can pretty much see an ability of a quarterback more than you can see other people. That guy's, he's throwing or handing off on every play. I mean, they pretty much had enough to evaluate whether Ned Sudfeld was good enough to be a backup quarterback for 4 years worth of practices.
I think that they just go old.
All right.
Like this year, anybody, if you, we have a 26-year-old guy and a 40-year-old, go with the 40-year-old guy. He'll know the offense better. So like they just went there across the board.
Maybe.
Left tackle.
Yeah. All right, let me get to my other, some people are idiots. Joel Embiid needs surgery for his hand. I get these people out there tweeting. Well, Chris Paul played with broken finger. All you do is tape it up. He's soft. You're telling me you know more about a hand condition than a hand frickin' specialist? Are you out of your mind tweeting stuff like this?
I got a bunch of them, too.
Some people are idiots, all right?
And that's music.
My new category.
And here's the thing, Mike. In Embiid's case, when it first happened, he came back in the game with it taped up and played and finished the game. Doctors looked at it. Doctors decided that he needed surgery. He immediately, I think he got it this morning, the surgery. What is the player supposed to do?
It's and because you know, there's no shock to me. I thought he needed surgery all along.
Right, you were like, too quiet.
Yeah, it's too
he
quiet.
He went to multiple specialists.
Yeah,
exactly. They needed surgery.
Exactly. All right. Let's get to the phones. And talk to Scott in Southampton. Scott, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott.
Yo, Mike. What's up, man?
What's going on, Scott?
Not much. Yeah, real quick on the backup quarterback thing. I think this league should know by now. You look at the run that we had back in 2017, and then you see what the Titans are doing with Tannehill down there, still alive. So you think they'd get someone?
They're about to go home quick.
Yeah,
I got you. Yeah, Tannehill's a viable backup, younger guy.
Yeah, you spark some, but on Simmons, I want to get your take on this because, you know, if he has a shot, he's going to be a better player. He's going to be closer to a Hall of Fame player and yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel his ability to get to the rim and his defense, you know, somewhat offset the fact that he can't shoot a mid-range?
Yeah, of course it does. It still makes him a great player. And, like, this ridiculous thing that Jalen Rose said, they should trade him for D'Angelo Russell is the full most bullish thing I've ever heard a basketball guy say. But it doesn't make up for... See, the thing about Ben Simmons is not he's just good. And I understand what you're saying, that, well, he brings this and that. He should bring all of it. He has the potential to be a great player in the league if he would only just trust himself.
Yeah.
It's just not enough. It's not enough what he does. It's nice, but it's not enough.
Yeah, we just live in a world, I feel like, of immediate,
That's not immediate, bro. This has been 3 years now. Dude, it's a fundamental thing to do, shoot a basketball. It's not. We're not asking him to do brain surgery.
I hear you. It's crazy that he hasn't shot at this point in his career.
It kills the team that he hasn't shot. Now, last night he didn't because he was able to get to different spots, freelance a little bit, and use his all-around ability. But when Embiid's back, he's got to play differently.
Well, that's an identity issue, I think, and that falls back on Elton Brand and Brett Brown, like, going into the season. Knowing Ben Simmons isn't going to shoot, you know, that's not going to work. He can't just go down on a block on a drive and then try and
shoot. Yeah, but they thought he was going to shoot. That's the thing. The big tease. Oh, the videos. The off-season work. Work on the shot. Work on the shot. Always working on the shot. Look at the videos. And then you get the same thing. I love what he does on the floor. This is why it frustrates me so much, because I love... nobody can in the league can do what he does on a basketball floor. You saw last night the way he flies up the court, the way he creates that kind of dynamic on a fast break, the way he defends. He defended three different guys last night. I get all that. But step up and be great. That's what they need you to be. I can't settle for just he provides this and this. I need he provides this, 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 and this. Like Giannis. Greatness. That's what he provides. That's what I need from the guy. Because it's in him. very few people that it's in. D'Angelo Russell. The greatness in D'Angelo Russell, just a good player. Ben's a special talent. Ron on a cell, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ron.
You're hitting a lot of it. You know, the thing is, he is better as the second guard, the Scottie Pippen type, where he doesn't have to touch and attack from the middle. Because when he attacks from the middle, he draws too much attention. When Jay Rich was cooking last night, Coach Brown pulled him to the side. Come over here, Ben. Get up, because he wanted to go back to the middle and be up top.
Yeah, I don't know what you're saying.
In other words, put him as an attacker, but he put him as a second.
He's got to have the ball in his hands. He's a premier passer. That's one of his great strengths. Is he's a premier passer.
Yeah, but he can do it from two. He can do it from there.
He's got to have the ball in his hands. He's got to have the ball. He can't be a two. He can't play any other position but one. You get the best out of him at one. All he has to do is shoot the ball as a one to complete his game.
Well, you have a guy like Jay Rich, a.k.a. a Michael Jordan, and you watch how Scottie Pippen did it from two.
Excuse me?
Who?
Jay Rich is Michael Jordan. What?
No. I'm only wishing.
Listen, Jay Rich had a good game last night. Let's not get carried away on what he is. He's a nice player. He's not a dynamic, I'm going to carry your team player.
I'll tell you what, if he has five or six games in a row like he did last night.
Come on, man. You know he's not going to have five or six games in a row like that.
He's not that
type of talent. He's a nice player.
Boy, he's a nice player.
He's a nice player. That's what he is. He's not a great player. Tim and Broomall, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim.
Did that guy really just compare Josh Richardson?
It was Josh Jordan? Is the Michael Jordan to Ben's Scottie Pippen, apparently.
Jesus.
Carried away with one game performances. Yeah, he looked good last night. Made a lot of shots for them last night. That's not going to. He's not a regular 29-point guy.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
But my point about Ben Simmons and whoever answered the phone. Said, are you saying Ben or Joe? It kind of comes to that because Ben, I'm sick and tired of waiting. He's not going to shoot.
Yeah, so, but you saw what he does. The dynamic way he plays the game. You want to give all that away? There's no better solution. You don't trade him for somebody.
No, I agree. But what do you do with Joe then?
Well, they're going to have to figure that out. That's what I'm going to ask Brett Brown. Coming up, because now he doesn't have a lot of time to blend this thing when Embiid comes back.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I thought Al Horford was a great signing, but now seeing all the congestion in the lane, I don't think so anymore.
Yeah, well, it's a great question. It's a great question. Now, Logan carried away last night, said, oh, they're better off without Joel. Look how they play.
No, that's one game.
All right.
No. I'm saying with Al Horford, Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons, that's too much congestion.
Yes, and that's what they've been trying to figure out, how to make Al Horford effective in this lineup.
Yeah, all right. Well, thanks for taking my call and have a good week.
All right, buddy. You got it, Tim. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's problematic in that they need more time to figure out the Al role with Embiid on the floor. And they've been working towards that end. And now it's derailed. Because now it's a completely different way that they have to play. And it's not the way they're going to play in the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting how this coach blends it. And we'll ask him shortly. Rob in Pottsville, you're on 97.5.
Magic Johnson did that time against the Sixers and being able to do it for more than one game at a time?
No.
No.
We saw last night. They had him in the five spot guarding, and Enes Kanter of all people kind of buried him.
Yeah, he's not tough enough, I guess.
Well, he's not a center. He doesn't have the bulk to deal with those kind of big centers.
So, who would you add to the team for the next 6 weeks with Joel being out?
You know, they're not going to add anybody, really, are they? I mean, are they going to add somebody? They're going to have to add a player with Joel in mind to come back there. I don't think they're going to replace him. the minutes at center are going to be divvied up between Al Horford, and they're going to get Pel some minutes.
Yeah, well, they played well last night, and I know that my last thing was probably old, but I haven't seen or heard anything regarding if the NFL had fined Mr. Clowney.
They haven't done anything yet.
Are the Eagles looking into it or not?
Yeah, they're actually, the league is investigating it now. That they would have some kind of resolution on Saturday, I think.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Does that matter to you?
Well, just it matters just that because it's.
Is that good enough justice for you?
Because it's the rule, that's all.
Oh, it's the rule?
Yeah, I think he should be fine, but that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I know.
But,
you're still hurting. No, I don't care whether he's fine or not. What's done is done. Who cares if he gets fined?
That's true, and I can't believe the way people have attacked Carson like it was his fault.
Yeah, well, yeah, Carson has to learn to slide. Don't you know that? He should never try to make a play out of the pocket anymore. Pete, that's funny. People are screaming, you got to make some plays out of the pocket. Get out of the pocket. Get out of the pocket. Make some plays with your legs. So then he tries to get 2 yards. He gets banged. Now it's stay in the pocket. Throw it away.
He was on his way down.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. That's another thing. Some people are idiots. We'll add that to the list. All right?
Yeah.
Three things today.
Those are good three. That's a way good way to start
it's
it off.
It's a great three. Tape it up and play. Look at McCown. He dunked a basketball. You were wrong about his athleticism. Maybe they could have done some things with him. He tried to run towards the sideline and busted up the hamstring. One play. Yep. Where he was galloping.
Now he's got to get surgery.
And that pretty much, Josh, stay retired.
Yeah, you don't want to come back and do that again.
Well, man, coach the football team down there, do a little ESPN.
Or start up the NFL ranks. Not right as Eagles offensive coordinator. Go, like, you could be quality control. Yeah, he probably wants to coach. At least a lot of people think he wants to coach, not just fans. There are people who know him.
Well, make him the offensive coordinator.
Right away?
Well, sure. That's what people are saying.
Yeah, I don't like that.
No?
No.
I don't either. I just said it's a trick. Yeah.
Now, I will say, though, I don't know how long it takes. If you're a former player and you're a smart guy, it'll probably only take a couple of years, but I just don't want it now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 3 years from now, he may be a great offensive coordinator.
Yes. Jeff in Camden, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
Mike, you missed. What's going on?
What's going on, Jeff?
Yo. So, did you see Josh now trying to pump those 40-year-old legs? But that's what the offense was required for him to do.
It's a shame. He's 40.
Yeah, it was a shame.
You know, 40-year-old guys in this day and age have a really hard time running against the real good speed on defense.
You know, it's a shame. The accuracy's still there. I mean, I knock shots down all over the basketball court, but when these guys try and when they put me out there to defend these guys on the court and I try and lean forward, I damn near fall on my forehead because my legs don't work because I'm 39.
Exactly. The legs go. So, you know, that basketball dunk, maybe that was the last year he actually had legs. Yeah. It doesn't translate to when you're 40.
Exactly. As far as basketball, I mean, it was basketball last night. Mm. Look, man. You got to give Richardson a little bit more praise. Did he win that game last night?
Yeah, he had a great game.
Did he beat the Celtics? Did he win the game last night? He won.
He was one of the guys that won the game.
He was the guy, man. He was the guy. He was the MVP
They all played great last night.
Yeah, but who would they lose without?
I get it. He's a nice player. He's not Michael Jordan.
No, I didn't say he was Michael Jordan.
Well, that's what the caller had suggested. You make Ben the two, and you make Josh the Michael Jordan part, and Ben will be the Pippen. Come on, man.
Ben Simmons came in and disrupted the rhythm in the fourth quarter.
Yes, he did.
The layup. You saw it.
Yeah.
Came in, missed the layup when they were surging.
Yeah, but look at he made a couple jump hooks in the lane that were they were important baskets that he made last night.
You love watching Simmons, Mike. I tell you,
you didn't like his game last night.
I like that he got that damn kangaroo off his neck and is wearing things that people wear on the East Coast and in the rest of the world.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, man. How do you not appreciate Ben Simmons' game last night? Yeah, you're just a hater.
A hater.
610-632-0975. All right, Brett Brown's coming up in 5 minutes. And you don't want to miss it. We'll talk about how the coach feels about this team right now, and then how he intends to blend by playoff time with Joel Embiid out for a significant period of time. Mike Missinelli Show, we're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, 6:46, Mike Missinelli Show. Waiting on Brett Brown. And until we get him, we'll take phone calls. So let's go to Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg. Brett. Go ahead, Greg.
Easy for you to say.
Yes.
Really surprised last night. I tuned into the Sixers game at halftime, and you know, they were only down by a few. I thought they were going to get blown out of the place, but you know, everybody stepped up, and you know, it seemed like they had pretty good effort on defense. You know, and Boston probably just didn't. They might have had an off night. I don't know, but you got to.
Well, it was their fifth game in 7 days, which is a dynamic. All right, hold on a second. We'll keep you on hold because right now we do have the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. A great win last night, third straight over Boston, which is meaningful. Let's welcome in Brett Brown on the Comcast Business Hotline. Brett, great win last night.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. It's always good to beat Boston.
You know, that was a great NBA game, and you've had a few hours to digest the game from last night. What was your take on how you guys played?
Two things most stood out to me. I thought defensively, when it mattered most in the fourth period, I thought that we showed signs of embracing sort of life without Joel and playing sort of a different way and doing it successfully, one. And two, I thought the execution down the stretch, just whether it was, you know, not turning the ball over or getting efficient shots, getting the ball into the correct people's hands, I was proud of the way that that we walked that game down.
So it turned around really in the third quarter. You made a big run to get back in the game, and you had a lot of energy in that third quarter. What were you telling them at halftime to do?
Just that, you know, the score, I thought that we poked ourselves in the eye right before halftime. You could feel it swinging a little bit. But I thought that we were on the right path. Like my anxiety comes when you just don't feel like, you know, the path is right or the spirit's right. I thought their spirit was good. I thought the attention to detail with how we prepared and the scouting report was good. And I tried to just more remind them of that.
All right, so let's discuss the Joel being out part of how you're going to have to play now. Because let's face it, realistically, he's probably going to be out a month. I know he's going to get reevaluated in 2 weeks, but you know, surgery's no joke, and then the rehab and the whole bit. And you alluded to it yesterday. You're going to have to play differently. You're going to play up tempo, and you're going to have to play hard scrambling defense. Is this It was a sustainable last night. Is this sustainable for that period of time without Joel?
Well, let's go to defense, because you used a word that I don't want to do. Like, I don't want to scramble. I don't want to scramble. I do think that there will be elements of our pressure that will put us in more scrambled environments. This is true. But in general, like, that's the punishment of the NBA. If you're in rotations too much, the league is too good. It's too offensive. They shoot the ball well enough. They drive it well enough. You're not in position to defensive rebound. It's a recipe for losing. And so I do hope to avoid the scramble while sort of admitting, you know, you don't have the luxury of 7'2" all defensive player and Joel Embiid behind it. And so with Al, you know, let's just go there first. What's Al going to be in pick and roll defense? And without doing a clinic, you know, we have answers, and it will affect people behind that. If you go to just offense, it's true. Like, we need to play fast. It needs to be a little bit more of a track meet. We don't have the post target or the need to wait for the post target like I felt like we did in Joel And so both sides of the ball on first glance, that's my take on life without Joe.
All right. Now, it seemed to free up Al a little bit last night. He almost had an awakening last night. And you could see that you guys played differently, and he seems more energized. The whole thing about this year was trying to get him to blend, and it was coming along slowly. You were trying to figure out how to make him effective to play with Joel. So now, all this time that Joel is out is taking away time to blend that particular situation. How do you feel about that?
I mean, it's obviously not ideal. If you had a perfect world, you'd be playing with Joel and inching this thing along. But in the event, or with the circumstance that we don't have Joe, I see daylight. I see a positive. I feel like we can rekindle his confidence and make him more of a focal point. I think the mistake that sometimes we all make is, you know, effectively he was sort of our third option, you know, at times our fourth option. And you know, he didn't really have a chance to feature as much as he did with previous teams. We all get he's a gifted pick and pop guy. I think the difference with Al Horford in Boston and in Atlanta was when he blended pick and pop and pick and roll. So I think this time frame, you know, we can rekindle some spirit.
All right. Now, the people that knocked Ben Simmons had to see last night's game for what you obviously see in Ben and the all-around game and what he does in all areas. I thought he was spectacular last night. And I know you did too, right?
Absolutely. And I tell you what, like, I respect you saying that, because if it's not like he's got 30, 15, and 10, oftentimes, like, the subtleties of things that don't appear on a stat sheet get ignored. And I hear you, Mike. I agree with you.
But there is the elephant in the room, and so we have to address that now. Now, it's you have come out recently and thrown it publicly. You hadn't done that before, and I know you think this is an overblown story at times, but you did come out and say you want him to shoot 1-3 a game, and then you said I failed at that. So when we look at this whole situation, how is it going to cure itself when Joel does come back and you're going to have to need certain things from Ben Simmons?
Well, it is true. I'm always amused. I think, and that really is the word, at the attention that this gets. And like Ben and I talk about, like, do you realize that if you shot 1-3 a game, in the blink of an eye, this just disappears. It just goes away. But it's something that, you know, has received attention, and now it's gained momentum, and so here we are. And I do think, like, the things that probably you or the listeners should hear the loudest is my whole thing is space. Like, when you're not the person that is in the post, where are you? When you're not the person that is in a pick and roll, you're three other people somewhere on the floor, where are you? When there is dribble penetration, where are you? If Tobias has the ball in early offense and he's the dribble out guy and he's sort of conquering the middle with a live ball and you're running a lane, where are you? And so my world is space. And I think that if we can continue to get him to space, then he's going to figure out how to spend his money. And when I dissect the game, and I do it every single game with him, you know, it's not as frequent as you might think. And he's so gifted a slasher. Like, he sees daylight. He's either going to punish a blind defender for an offensive rebound, or it's just going to chew up empty space by running it up somebody's shoulders. And so somewhere in the middle of all that, we concede it does have to happen. It hasn't happened to date, so therefore we have this conversation. And I own it. Like, I'm the coach, and it's still something that I feel responsible to help him grow this part of his game.
Now, Brad, I'm going to ask you this, because going public, was that a reflection of your frustration? Because a lot of people think you don't tell him to shoot. And the whole staff, the whole world has pretty much communicated to him that he's got to shoot a basketball. So by going public, are you trying to, like, speed that process up, and that's your last resort?
I'm doing whatever I can do to help him. And, like, everybody would have their own opinion of what that looks like. And I feel a responsibility to help a 23-year-old find a new toy. And I feel like once he does this, because I see him shoot where others don't all the time, and he's a capable shooter. And I do think it's going to happen, and I think we're all going to look in the rearview mirror, and him especially, and think, can you believe this? this thing reach this level of attention for what? And I think that he's going to shoot one, he's going to make one, then he's going to do it again. And I feel like there will be momentum because it hasn't happened. Here it is. And so my decision on how do I help move him along, sometimes it's a little bit public. It very much is private. And I want to do this with him. And to date, we have not done this. And so therefore, I make the comment I made a few days ago. And it's just something that, you know, is on my mind, but probably not as much as others.
Was he bothered by your comment publicly?
I don't think there was anything wrong with it. It wasn't. And you know, I've been in the city with you for now 7 years. It's not my style. Like, I don't embarrass anybody in the newspaper. And it's just not what I believe in. And I said what I said because I think it. It wasn't meant to be a jab at all. And he knows me. We've known each other for a very, very long time. And he gets it. Like, if you pulled him aside and you downloaded him, he understands that this, too, has to be something that he has to own. He's got to own it, and I'm here to help him.
So he didn't snap back at you and say, why'd you do that?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. So let's get to this question then. Why don't you think he does it?
We all got our ideas, and it's stuff that, you know, it's something that I personally think that he uses the space and ends up penetrating more and can dunk more and can offensive rebound more. I think a lot of it is he has had success, different success, using this space and achieving different results. And, you know, so it's a habit we got to break. And from time to time, he's going to have to shoot it. I mean, and just look at this interview. We've just spoken 5 minutes about Ben Simmons. I mean, really, it's a... So I'm happy to talk as much as you want, Mike. But
no, I got you. Now, yeah. let me just a couple quick ones before I let you go. You know, most people look at this team, and I have the opinion, I don't know if you have it or not, you probably do, that you probably could use somebody a little more offensive off the bench that you can count on to get your buckets. Do you believe that, and do you think that will happen?
I think that, I can't say loud enough respect and appreciation I have for Elton Brand. You know, it's a very seamless pairing. He and I coached him. There's no like hidden agendas. It's incredibly open and transparent. And he and I talk all the time about if April 15th were tomorrow, like what do we look into our crystal ball? What's our pre-mortem? What do we wish we had? And in the meantime, like we all get trade deadlines are coming up. And, you know, we're going to take what we got and try to make it work. The city should be elated with Matisse Thybulle. And I thought Furkan last night was great, and James made some big shots. I feel like the thing that is a little bit different this year than in previous years, in your rendering it into like a catch shot JJ guy, I think.
Yes.
I feel like, yeah, no, I hear you. Like, there's a pick and roll, a live ball guy. It's why Trey Burke has come in and put his hand up. And he's different. People that can create off the dribble. People can run a pick and roll. People that can get into the seams of a zone. You know, there is a need, I think, for that too. And we're trying to develop and grow the current roster to be able to do that. And in the event that Elton decides to do something in a few weeks, then I'm with him.
All right, last question. It's about Pell. Now, he looks like he can bring some quick five position energy, like a few years when Rashawn Holmes gave you that kind of energy. And you're going to have to decide whether you have to sign him to a full contract. What are the prospects of that?
Well, let me talk on my side of the fence, and ultimately I'm going to tell you Elton's going to figure it out, but I'll talk to your points because I agree with them. He is different. He's really different, you know, and you bring up Rashawn. That's not my analogy is more Nerlens because, like, he's a legitimate rim protector. He's a fantastic roller. You know, when he's big, 6'11" and some maybe. And so, like, he got live legs. He can switch out on the pick and roll. There are a lot of NBA skills that he has that I think are very attractive to me. And so Elton will figure out what that means with roster construction and, you know, caps and all that. But I can tell you, I thought he was really good last night. And he for sure has NBA skills that we should pay attention to.
All right, you got a couple of tough games coming up. One in Dallas with Luka. I assume Ben will play Luka?
You know, you'd suspect so. It's how much fun is that kid to watch? Like, we played him in his very first game in China. And it takes you about 2 seconds to realize the unique gifts that he has. You always, when I'm watching him, you know, you don't realize how quick he is in his mind and with the ball and deceptive with his dribble. He's not slow of foot. Like, he makes up for it with just quickness with the ball in his head. He's really, really good. I look forward to, almost from a fan standpoint, you know, seeing him. Ben Simmons on him, you'd expect some. And I think that, you know, we may have to look at some double teams as well.
All right, Brett, listen, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. Great night, win last night. See if we can keep it going.
Okay, Mike, thanks.
All right, there he is, Brett Brown, head coach, Philadelphia 76ers. We'll take a break. We're a little late. We'll come back. In the 3 o'clock hour, we have a pair of tickets, Sixer tickets to give away. So great callers from this point on will get a chance to qualify for a pair of tickets, Sixers at the Nets, when they come home after this 2-game road trip at Dallas and at Indiana. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.